She's got some exciting stuff. I'm so thankful. Everyone else, open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'll give you just a moment. In fact, let me suggest something to you. Romans chapter 8. Mark this chapter some way. Bookmark it. Read it as often as you can. There are some powerful truths in this, and I want to take the next few weeks and break down this chapter, because it tells us so much about living. I want us to be a foundational people. You hear what I'm saying? Based on the Word of God. Scott, if you would do me a favor, switch that back to the screen for me. Perfect. I want us to be a church, a people that are called a Word people. You hear me? Word. I don't want to be known for singing. I don't want to be known for chicken dinners, yard sales. I want to be known as a people that love and honor and live by the Word of God. And if we'll do that, then God will take care of all of our needs. We don't have to worry about raising money. We don't have to worry about getting this or that. God will provide for us, because if we put His Word first, He will honor that. So I want you to become intimately familiar with this chapter, because it is a powerful, powerful word to the body of Christ. We're going to read this morning verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and it says this: There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Everybody say, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but how? According to the Spirit. So, Father, this morning, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for letting Your Word just come alive in our hearts and lives. Let us live lives that are governed by Your truth. Remove from us things that don't need to be in our lives. Replace them with the things of the kingdom of God that will make us strong and effective and prepare us for the second coming of Christ. So do Your work in us this morning as we break down this scripture. Speak to us, guide us, direct us as You need to. Let us each one take home today what we need to take home from this, and we give You praise for it all in Jesus' name. So I want to start a little series here that I'm going to call Life in the Spirit. Because we have to learn how to live in the Spirit if we're going to learn how to be strong. You know, my mom passed this week, as we've already discussed this morning. And you know, I see some people who are just, the world is rocked by death. Now, death affects people different ways. I acknowledge that, you know. But I will say this, for the believer, I don't put my trust in this life. This life is temporary. Now, my mom, they placed her in a crypt. She's at Pinewood Memorial Park. Her body is in a crypt. But that ain't my mom. That's just what's left. I know where my mom is. My mom is worshiping at the throne this morning. You hear me? She has seen Jesus already. And when you have that as your peace and your comfort, death is hard. Life is hard, but we've got something in us that's bigger, stronger, more powerful than this life is. This world should not shake us to our core. Amen. Because we know who is our core. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one we put our trust in this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, many Bible scholars, many preachers, many theologians, a lot of the professors I've had in college have referred to Romans chapter 8 as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, chapters in all of Scripture. Some say Romans is the greatest book because of what it teaches us about living for God, but Romans chapter 8 is perhaps the greatest chapter in the entire canon of Scripture. Listen to what some notable people have said about it. Philip Jacob Spener said, if the Holy Scriptures were a ring and the epistle to the Romans its precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. Another person said, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, Romans chapter 8 is the inner sanctuary within the cathedral of the Christian faith. John Stott, a great preacher, said this chapter is one of the most comforting and encouraging passages in all of Scripture. G. Vernon McGee, I'm sure many of you who are a little older have heard him, used to be on the radio all the time. He says, Romans 8 is the greatest chapter in the Bible. If there is a Mount Everest of Scripture, this is it. F.F. Bruce, another person that I have a lot of his commentaries, he says that Romans chapter 8 is the triumphant conclusion to Paul's exposition of justification by faith. And someone by the name of Wim Rule said, the 8th chapter of Romans is the Bible in miniature and the gospel in its highest expression. And then another great commentary writer said, by the name of Leon Morris said, no chapter in the Bible more fully sets forth the life of the believer in the Spirit and the certainty of God's love than Romans chapter 8. I'm so thankful we have Romans chapter 8 this morning that we can turn to and we can draw from and get strength from. And that's what we're hoping in this series that we're going to do. Now, the reason Romans chapter 8 gets that reputation is that it does this. It moves from no condemnation to this, to no separation. Did y'all get what I just said? No condemnation all the way to no separation. And in between the two, it shows the Spirit-filled life of the believer from suffering to glory. It begins with assurance. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now, everybody say now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. One of the clearest statements of the gospel security that you're ever going to find in Scripture. John Piper says, Romans 8 and 1, he describes it as the great conclusion drawn from the first 7 chapters of the book of Romans. It emphasizes life in the Spirit. It shows that the believer is not merely forgiven, but we are indwelt. Hallelujah. We are led. We are helped. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It repeatedly contrasts life according to the flesh and life according to the Spirit. It does this. It gives comfort to the suffering. Verse 18 says that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the coming glory. Then Romans 8:28 says it gives the promise that God works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. In fact, if you've ever used it, many of you probably have in your study, Bible.com, which is a great resource, says that Romans 8:28 and Romans 8:38 through 39 are among some of the most popular verses in this entire chapter. It also shows the full sweep of salvation. It speaks of justification, sanctification, adoption, assurance, suffering, glorification, prayer, God's purpose, and the believer's final security. One summary says that Romans 8 gives a picture of salvation in its completeness. You see what I'm doing here? I'm laying a foundation for us. We need to understand what this great chapter has to say to us. And it ends with this, this great thought. It has unbreakable security. It closes with a triumphant promise that nothing in all of creation can separate believers from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And as I said, it's been called one of the greatest chapters in the book of the Bible. Please, please, church, join with me in this little journey, and let's make this chapter an intimate, powerful part of our lives. Romans 8 begins with one of the greatest declarations in all of Scripture. You should be able to quote this from memory because it applies directly to you who are believers in Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen with me about that? These are not just small, simple words, church. They're not just religious encouragement. They're not just wishful thinking. This is a gospel announcement. Paul doesn't say there's less condemnation. I'm so glad for that. He doesn't say there is temporary condemnation. He says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say now. That means today you are free from condemnation. So for the person who is in Christ, the verdict has already been spoken. The judge of all the earth has declared the believer righteous through Jesus Christ. The guilt of sin has been answered. Let me just tell you, you were guilty. I was guilty. I was unworthy. You were unworthy. But the power of sin has been broken. I hope y'all are hearing what I'm saying this morning. The sentence of death has been removed from your life. So it doesn't begin, chapter 8 doesn't begin with what we must do for God. It begins with what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. This matters because many people, many of us even here this morning, and I hear this all the time from people, they still, even though they may have been saved, serving God for many, many years, they still live under the burden of guilt and shame. The burden of fear and regret. I hate hearing believers say, if only. Or I used to. Well, if you used to, why don't you again? Let's get in with everything we've got. Amen? Let's quit living in the past. So many people want to live in their past. You know, the God can't forgive me. God can't use me. I'm here as a witness of what God can do in somebody's life. I don't care what you've done. God forgives. He heals. He delivers. And here's the good news. He restores. He restores. Many people live under those burdens because they know what they've done. We remember where we have failed, right? We hear, oh, he's loud and clear sometimes. We hear the accusations of our enemy. We carry the burden and the weight of our past sins. Let me just say this. Who cares what people think? You're saying in my notes at all here. But let me just say it again. Who cares what anybody else thinks? If you are a born-again child of God, your past is your past. It's gone. Jesus has forgiven you. Quit looking at what's behind you and do like Paul says, press forward. Don't go back, go forward, praise God. If they want to stay in the past, let them live in the past, but not you. You keep pressing on. God has great things for his people. Nothing back there for me. How about you? I said, there's nothing back there for me. I don't want to go back to my past. My future is bright. My future has hope. My future has peace. Yours does too, because Jesus is your future, praise God. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 speaks directly to the heart of the believer. And it says this to us, that in Christ, you are not condemned. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. Don't get too comfortable. Because this doesn't mean that sin is not serious. It doesn't mean that obedience doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that grace gives us permission to live carelessly. It means that Jesus Christ has fully dealt with the condemnation that our sin carries with it for our lives. So here's the main idea. That in Christ, I want to hear you say that, in Christ, the believer no longer lives under condemnation, but under grace. You know, that does my heart good, because if you've been reading along with us in our yearly Bible reading, you will see God deals with sin. Come on now. He'll open up the ground and swallow you up. He can do things that'll just blow your mind when he deals with sin. But today, aren't you glad? There's this thing called grace. Because even though we're guilty, even though we deserve it, because we're people, we're human, we're flesh and blood, we mess up, we make mistakes. Even as children of God, we make mistakes. If you're perfect, stand to your feet. That's what I thought. I'm the only one standing. I'm going to fall on the ground if I don't quit. None of us are perfect. We all have failed. But if it were not for grace, where would I be? What's that song, Dylan, you sing? If not for grace, where would I be? Aren't you glad for his amazing grace this morning? That was one of my mom's favorite songs. Joseph sang it at her funeral. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That song, that's an old one. It never gets old to me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. Aren't you glad for amazing grace? Why don't you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? So I want you to get this. The verdict has been changed. You were guilty. Rod Parson used to preach it like this. He said, you're guilty, but you're blameless. That means your blame, Jesus took it on the cross for you. You couldn't pay the price for it. You weren't good enough. You weren't strong enough. You weren't holy enough. You were guilty. You were destined to die and be forever, eternally sealed in the hell that God created for the devil and his angels because of sin's rebellion against God. But Jesus said, even though you can't go to the cross, I can go to the cross for you. He took your place. He took my place on the cross of Calvary so that we could stand here this morning in 2026 and declare that God's grace is freely given to whoever would believe on the name of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is telling us. That word therefore connects this verse to everything that Paul's already been teaching in the book of Romans. Paul has shown us this. Paul has already shown us in Romans that all have sinned and come up short of the glory of God. He's shown us that the wages of sin is death. He's shown us that no person can be justified by the works of the law. And he's also shown us that God has provided righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Now Paul reaches this grand conclusion. He says, because of Jesus, nothing you could do to change your fate, but because of Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to you, praise God. Now the word condemnation, that's a courtroom word. It means it's a guilty verdict. It means that judgment has been passed. It means that the sentence has been declared. Before Christ, this was our condition. We were guilty before God. We had sinned against his holiness. We had broken His commands. We had fallen short of His glory. We could not erase our guilt by trying harder. It's impossible. We couldn't outweigh our sin with all of our good works. You can't save yourself by religious efforts. But when a sinner comes to Jesus Christ, isn't this good? When a sinner comes to Jesus Christ by faith, the verdict changes. Glory to God. The believer is no longer standing before God in Adam. The believer is standing before God in Christ. Did y'all get that? There's a phrase in Romans 8 and 1 that's so important to us. It's vital. And it's two or three simple words. And it says this: in Christ Jesus. That's the key. You ought to underline that. You ought to mark that. I've written it out in mine here. In Christ. In Christ. You've got to be in Christ. You're going to be in something, right? You're going to be a part of this world, this world system, or you're going to be a part of God and His system. I choose God this morning. I choose to be a part of the kingdom of God. Does it mean it's going to always be easy? Does it mean it's going to always work out the way I want it to? But in the end, I do know this. I have read the whole book. And I know at the end what happens. I know when all is said and done that Jesus is going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity. And those who serve Him, those who worship Him, those who follow Him, those who are in Christ Jesus are going to live and rule and reign with Him forever. Somebody ought to give God some praise this morning. Because Paul doesn't say that there is no condemnation to those who are religious. You can look the part. You can look the part. You can come in here dressed to the nines. You can come in here with your suit and tie and your black shiny shoes. You can have on your cufflinks and your tie pins. Or you can have your hair all fixed up nice and beautiful. And you can have on your nice dresses and your nice pocketbooks and all that stuff. You can look a certain way, but be going straight to hell. It's not about what you wear. I get so aggravated with people talking about you got to wear this, got to wear that. It's not about the clothes you put on. You got to be respectful. You got to honor those around you and honor God with your dress. But let me just say this. It's not about what you wear. It's not about anything you can do. You can look your very best. I mean, you can go down here to the hairstylist, you ladies, and pay hundreds of dollars, get your hair all fixed up, you know, and just all that money you spend ain't making you no holier. You may be prettier. You may look good. You may look good in that suit. But let me tell you something. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God doesn't look at you and go, man, well, Chris, boy, he's coming here today. He is dressed. He is sharp. What's that old song of that sharp dressed man? Remember that one? Yeah, I think Dylan knows. Anybody? Well, I got two Dylans here this morning, so y'all both look guilty. But it's not about what we see on the outside, because God doesn't look at you and say, you look the part. Because some people can fool you. Uh-oh. Some people can look it, can act it, and have learned the religious ease. They know what to say. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And the moment they get out that door, they're cussing like a sailor. But God doesn't look at what man looks at. God looks at the heart. Let me tell you something about the heart. You got to be careful with that thing that we call our heart. Because that will get you in trouble too. You follow me? You need to make sure that you've got your eyes and your heart fixed on Christ this morning. There's nothing like it. Nothing like serving Him. I'm so glad God doesn't judge me by my outward appearance. He judges me by my heart. And sometimes I know my heart's not where it needs to be, but He helps me get it back in place. Can I get a witness in this Holy Ghost church this morning? Amen. Because if you're perfect, you need to just go ahead and leave. Because we're going to contaminate you. Because we ain't perfect. But we have learned something along the way. That when I sin, when I fail, come on now. And it will probably happen at some point. Because pastoring you guys, you make me sin sometimes. All right? Just kidding. Well, just partway kidding. But I have learned that when I fail, what do? I fall on my knees and I say, Lord, forgive me. And I repent. Help me not to do that again. Help me not to say that, not to act that way. Help me to change. See, that's the problem with the church. We don't change. We're the same stinky mess we were 10 years ago. Because if you're not getting in the Word, if you're not praying, if God is not changing your heart, you're the same way you were. You stunk then, you stink now. Come on. You know I love you, don't you? Because, you know, I told you, I promise you, I'm teaching to change us. I don't want to get up here and just preach you something that makes you feel good so you can amen me. I don't care if you amen me or not. I want you to hear something that will change your life. Listen, if you're living in sin, you're violating the Word of God, and you can't expect God to bless you. But if you're living in sin, you can do this. Lord, forgive me, change my heart so that I can serve you. And you know what's going to happen? God says if you pray it and ask it, He will forgive you. And He will change you and restore you. That's the kind of God we serve. That's what God wants. So our security is not in our performance. It's not in our emotions. It's not in our past. It's not even in our ability to hold ourselves together. Our security this morning is in Christ. 2 Corinthians, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus took our sin upon Him. Y'all listen to me, okay? They got the door. He bore our judgment. He carried our guilt. He stood in our place. At the cross, He received the condemnation we deserved so that we could receive the righteousness that we could never earn. That's why we don't have to live in the fear of condemnation this morning. You got to get that, okay? You got to get that point, because if you're going to do the things God wants to do through you, you got to understand that He's forgiven you. There's no condemnation. Your past is your past. Not only for yourself. See, I can't look at Preston and go, now I love Preston, but I heard he did this. Now I ain't heard nothing about Preston. I'm just using him as an example. Don't y'all be going on Facebook and social media trying to find out what Preston did. Preston ain't done nothing. Well, he has done some stuff, but you understand what I'm saying. I could use your name just as easily. You know? I don't care what you've done. If you've got it under the blood, it's under the blood. So let's move on. Turn to your neighbor and say, move on. See, that's where people get all hung up. They try to keep digging in. See, not only about others, but they especially do it to themselves. God can never use me because of my past. That's a lie. That's what the devil wants to feed you, to keep you sitting in church or sitting at home, not being a part. God can turn your life around if you'll just let Him. Praise God. So I was guilty, but I have been justified. I was condemned, but I have been forgiven. I was under wrath, but today I'm under grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Paul doesn't stop by telling us that the verdict has changed only. He shows us why we needed Christ in the first place. The verdict had to be changed because the law could not reveal our sin. But it couldn't, and it could, but the law could reveal our sin, but it could never rescue us from our sin. Paul makes it clear that the law was not the problem. God's law is holy, his law is righteous, and his law is good. The problem was not with the law. Here you go. The problem was with us. The law could tell us what righteousness looks like, but it could not make us righteous. The law could expose sin, but it could not remove sin. The law could diagnose the disease, but it could not provide the cure. The law could show us the standard, but here you go, it couldn't give us the strength to make it. Because Paul says this about the law. He says the law was weakened by the flesh. That means that weakness was not in God's command. The weakness was in humanity, was in us. Because of sin, we could not obey God perfectly. We could not fulfill the law's demands. We could not produce the righteousness that God requires. That's why all of our moral efforts and labors cannot save us. You may decide in your mind, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. That's not enough. You may decide you're going to try and do better. That's not enough. You may try to become more religious. Not enough. You may try to cover up your guilt with good deeds and good works. Say it with me. That's not enough. No amount of human effort can remove the condemnation of sin. That's why Romans 3:20 says this, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. See, the law shows us our need. It points out the truth of our condition. It shows us that we are in need of a Savior. See, that's why a person can't be saved by rule keeping. You can't be saved by church attendance. You can't be saved by your religious activity. Just because you serve at the Welcome Center or teach children's church ain't enough. And you can't get saved by comparing yourselves to someone worse than you are. Come on now. The law says, here is God's holy standard. Your flesh says, I can't meet it. I'm not enough. But here's the good news of the gospel. Christ has done what you could not do. God didn't leave us trying to climb ourselves up to him. God came down to us in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. Because Paul said, for God has done what the law could not do. Those are some powerful, beautiful words that we need to understand. God has done it. For God so loved the world. Did you know that? Did you know this morning God loves you? Sometimes we feel like nobody cares about us. We feel alone. But I love, one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Word is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He loves you. Y'all hear me this morning? Hear me. If you hear nothing else I say, know this. God indeed loves you. You're loved by God. So salvation is not what we do for God. It's about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Now, my last point. The law could not save us. But God didn't leave us under condemnation. What the law could not do, Jesus came to accomplish. Jesus fulfilled what we could not. God sent his own son. That means that salvation belongs, or actually began, in the heart of God. It wasn't that we were crying out for an answer. God was crying out with a solution. The Father sent the Son. Jesus didn't come reluctantly. He came willingly. He came in love. He came on a rescue mission. He said this, "No man takes my life from me." We look at the journey to the cross and the way he was treated. He was mocked and ridiculed, and he was taken. But they didn't just come take Jesus. Jesus literally surrendered himself to them. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die for your sin. Make it personal. He was born to die for me. Come on, somebody. He was born to die on a cruel cross that I deserved. That I was, my worthiness is right there. That's what I deserve. But Jesus said, hold on. Even though you're guilty, even though you deserve it, I'm going to climb on that cross for you. I'm going to let them drive the nails in my hands and in my feet. I'm going to let them pierce my side. I'm going to let them crown me with a crown of thorns that you should be wearing. Jesus truly became human, yet without sin. He entered our world. He took on flesh. He lived among broken people. He was tempted, yet he remained sinless. He fulfilled the obedience that we failed to give. Because Paul says, Jesus came for sin. Oh, the devil hates you. You hear me this morning? He hates you. But Jesus loves you. And we give too much attention to the devil. We think the devil's wrecking our lives. We think the devil's ruling us and making things happen. We give him all the credit for all the bad stuff. Let's start giving God the credit for what he's done, for what he's doing, praise God. Because you know what? If it weren't for Jesus Christ, every one of you right now, you'd be sucking up sulfur and flames. But because of God, you have an eternal promise that says you can spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever, praise God. For sin, Jesus came. It means he came as a sin offering. He came to deal with sin, not just to cover it up, but to deal with it at the root. He came to die for sinners. At the cross, the Bible says that God condemned sin in the flesh. Notice what Paul says. He didn't say God condemned it in the believer. God condemned sin in Christ Jesus. The judgment that should have fallen on us fell on him. The wrath that our sin deserved was poured out on him. The debt we could not pay was paid by his blood. The righteousness we lacked was provided by his perfect life. Because Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, help me out, we are healed. Jesus took our place. And because he took our condemnation, church, now we receive his righteousness. I don't know, this is not one of those shout messages, but this is one of these messages that if you'll get it into your heart, it'll make your foundation strong. And that's exactly what we need in the church. We need some men and women, some boys and girls with strong word foundations. Because we're getting pushed around too much. Uh-oh. Because if you just casually approach serving God, if you just casually approach Scripture, the devil knows how to push you around and get you off your foundation. Then you start to get mad at the preacher. Go right ahead. Then you want to get mad at the members. Then you want to get mad at this person because they're serving here and you're not, but yet you won't even do it if we ask you to. Help me, somebody. People can be foolish when they're not standing on a strong foundation, Pam. When we're not standing on that strong foundation, we are in a position that the devil can push us around and manipulate us. What's that saying? My wife sent me something, and I've been trying to remember it all morning. Help me out, sweetheart. The one about behavior. Our words and our behavior. Watch, here you go. Here's a life lesson. Watch their words and their behavior. Okay. You know how to look at people? Watch their words and their behavior. If their words and their behavior don't match, watch their behavior. Because that's the real person. Because I have so many people say things to me, but their behavior don't match what they say. And then the little bit of wind blows, contrary, they get all upset and mad. Give me some people that want their behavior to line up with what God says in His Word. Then we can shake this community. You hear me? Because what we're going to have then, Diane, we're going to have unity in the house. And my Bible tells me that where there is unity, oh my God, go read it, Psalm 33. Where there is unity, there is where God commands the blessing. So you see why the devil tries to get this side mad at this side. Because they can keep us mad at each other, there ain't going to be no blessing. But when we say, hold on just a minute, we recognize, because the Bible says, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, lest he should get the advantage over us. Oh, we've been letting the devil get the advantage over us too much. That's why I'm doing these practical foundational teachings, because I want you strong. Because the devil's been lying to us, and we get pushed around and moved when we don't need to be pushed around and moved. If there's going to be any pushing, it's going to be through the Spirit of God. You hear me? Let God be the one that moves us. So I'm telling you, God has done some things to me in these last, you might think, well, you know, Pastor ain't been at work the last 2 weeks. I've not been sitting in my office every day like I love to do. Hopefully, that's getting ready to change back. But God has been speaking to me. And I believe we're about to raise up a strong, mighty church. See, there is, we've already seen it. We've already felt it. There's a shifting. Do you realize we're seeing miracles? You got a miracle. I heard about that. Christy got a miracle. She went to the doctor, had a hole in her heart. That sounds pretty bad to me. You know, a hole in your heart. They went back and checked again. That thing was filled in. Yeah. I listen, the stuff I put up there this morning, I pulled from my ECU, my chart. I've got witness. I've got a record of what happened for me. I was 4.2, 5.0, and suddenly I was 3.6. Glory be to God. That don't happen naturally. We're seeing miracles. You need to get in, because I'm telling you, if you're believing God for something, you need to let God do it in you, even right this minute. He's here today. I don't have to lay hands on you. I don't have to call you up and anoint you with oil. God can touch you right there in your seat. Huh?
Some are no cancer. And when they did that surgery, it had come.
They said no cancer?
No cancer.
Come on now, no cancer. Let's talk about your mama. Talk about you.
Ooh.
Healed in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Thank you.
Healed in Jesus' name. Healed. Healed. Healed.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I call it done. I call it done.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to see your my chart. That's the kind of God we serve. That's why we got to have the word. You hear me? That's why we got to understand there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul's trying to tell us something here. We got to know who we are in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil's going to surely lie to you. He's going to tell you this. He's going to tell you you're a nobody. Nobody cares about you. People at work don't respect you. They think you're nothing. God ain't going to, look at your checking account. You know, the devil's laughing at you. But the devil's a liar.
That's right.
You got to know what God says about you. God says you're blessed.
Yes.
God says, here we go. God says you're blessed and highly favored. Amen. And I'm not just talking about words. I'm not just talking about religious ease. You know, I'm talking about words that you really, truly believe in your heart. Because my God says if we believe in our heart, if we believe in our heart, we can speak to the mountain. Tell that mountain in your way, get out of my life, be cast into the sea. Jesus said, here's what Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and those words come out of your mouth, not just words, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? Not just, because I was in the early faith movement, I know what it's like just to say stuff because it's the right thing to say. Well, it's better to do that than say the wrong thing, but what we need to do is say the right thing because we believe the right thing.
That's right.
How do you get to be in to believe the right thing? Faith comes by
hearing
by the word of God, not listening to Sean Hannity.
Oh. Come on. Yeah.
I don't know any liberal ones. CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MS,
NBC.
Now, NBC, whatever they call themselves now, Fox, News Network,
yeah.
It don't matter. Glenn Beck, whether you like them or dislike them is irrelevant. Here's what we need to listen to. Thus saith the Lord God. It is written. Oh, come on now. Jesus didn't defeat the devil by just telling him what Sean Hannity said, right? He didn't defeat him with a poll saying the Republicans believe this and the Democrats believe that. He defeated the devil by looking him right in the face and saying, God hath said. God hath said. So tomorrow when the devil comes at you at work and then that employee that you work with that gets under your skin, you know who I'm talking about, and they try to Diane, I know sometimes people you work with at the well get under your skin.
She don't.
Gay don't? Okay. Forget that point then. But when anything comes against you, you look that thing right at it and you say, in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Be gone.
That's right.
Be gone.
Yes.
Be gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Cast it into the sea. Because you believe in your heart that God's word is true. You're blessed and highly favored. You're blessed going in, blessed coming out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Whatever you set your hands to, you accomplish because God is for you, not against you. Amen? And there is therefore now no condemnation. We got people sitting in this church this morning. Some of you guys are saints. I know it. Some of you police people. I'm just picking on him. I know one thing. I want to stay on David's good side. My brother has crossed the line, I think. My brother keeps saying, I can take him. I keep saying, yeah. Better take him out to eat because that's about all you're going to get. But you know what? We're all guilty. But here's the good news of the gospel. Paul's telling us there's now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Get that in your spirit. Get that in your heart. Know that. You're not condemned. You're going to heaven just as if you were already there. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because God loves you that much. And all you've got to do is accept Jesus into your life. That's the best thing. That's the best offer you're ever going to get. Would you stand to your feet with me? Well, you got some good stuff to cover in this book, in this chapter. Romans 8 begins with something we should all, every believer needs to hear and take to heart. And we've said it many times this morning. You could quote it with me now, I'm sure. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not because our sin was small. It's because Christ's sacrifice was sufficient. Not because we were strong, but because He was faithful. Not because the law lowered its standard. It's because Christ fulfilled the righteousness requirement of the law. The verdict has changed. Aren't you glad? The law could not save us, but Jesus fulfilled what we could not do. So, friends, condemnation is no longer your identity. Shame is not your master. I know what it's like to not want to go out in public because of shame. Afraid you're going to see somebody that will recognize you and know what you did. That's all gone because of Jesus Christ. Fear is no longer your sentence. Your past is no longer your prison. Because in Christ, you are forgiven. I believe that's a word for somebody this morning. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you're justified. In Christ, you're free. And this morning, I'm looking at some people that are not living under condemnation, but are living under grace and mercy. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, friends, look to Christ. Look to Him with every part of your life. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. I want to just give an altar call. If you're in this room right now, and you've heard what I've said, and you want to experience this freedom from condemnation, you want to be free from the guilt and the burden and the wages of sin, I'm here to offer you life in Jesus Christ. So if there's anybody listening this morning that would say with me, Pastor, I acknowledge I may not be living like I should, but I want Jesus to come into my life and forgive me of my sins, and to know this morning that when I leave this place, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If there's anybody here this morning that feels like that, raise your hand and put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Everybody look at me. Let's pray this prayer together for all of us. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You. I acknowledge You as Lord. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Father raised Him from the dead. He's alive this morning. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sin. Free me and deliver me. Set me free from sin. I renounce the devil. I renounce sin. And I acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of my life. And today, I am a child of God. Thank You, Father. It's just that simple. It's that simple. And turn to somebody and give them a high five. Go, everybody in this building, we're going to heaven today. Can you guys sing?
Yes. Who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.